All right. Good evening, everybody. We appreciate your being here. My name is Dan Rohr, and I'll be your moderator for tonight's Fisheries Forum. Again, welcome to our Candidates Forum this evening. The Kodiak Chamber of Commerce is presenting this Candidates Fisheries Forum with our co-host, KMXT Public Radio Station. For those of you listening live on one of the public radio stations across our state, we want to thank you for joining us. I just want to let you know we're also streaming this event through Facebook Live. If you'd like to join us there, please go to the Kodiak Chamber of Commerce Facebook page and follow the link. So you ask, why fisheries? So Alaska's annual wild seafood harvest exceeds 5 billion pounds per year. The total value of those landings at the docks throughout Alaska is over $2 billion per year. Commercial fisheries provides $5 to $6 billion in total economic activity in Alaska every year. The Alaska seafood industry is the largest private sector employer with over 62,000 direct jobs and another 10,500 secondary jobs. Alaska governors have significant influence over fisheries, and so it is only fitting that we hold this event to give our gubernatorial candidates an opportunity to speak with us about this industry. As you know, Alaska has three candidates for governor, Governor Mike Dunleavy, Representative Les Guerra, and Governor Bill Walker. Tonight, we are joined by two of the three candidates running for governor, Governor Bill Walker and Representative Les Guerra. I want to thank you for being here this evening and coming to Kodiak to participate. We really appreciate it. Caleb Taylor from Alaska Sea Grant is joining me tonight. He will be our timer throughout the evening. We have two panelists with us tonight. We have Tina Fairbanks. She's the executive director of Kodiak Aquaculture Association. And then we have Nate Rose, who's a local fisherman. He's also a board member of the Kodiak Seiners Association. They'll be asking our questions tonight. So tonight's forum wouldn't be possible without the generous donation of our sponsors. You can see up behind us here their logos, but I also want to read off their names. Alaska Leader Seafoods, At Sea Processors Association, FV Atlantico, Highmark Marine Fabrication, FV Insatiable, Kodiak Economic Development Corporation, Kodiak Seiners Association, Koniag, North Pacific Fishing Association, Pacific Seafood Processors Association, United Fishermen of Alaska, Satellite Technical Service, Silver Bay Seafoods, the FV Silver Spray, the City of Kodiak and the Kodiak Island Borough. So we, again, appreciate their donations for this evening. Also like to say a special thanks to the Alaska Public Broadcasting Satellite System. Because of them, we're able to broadcast this forum and reach a statewide audience. We appreciate you and all that you do to keep our communities informed. So October is National Seafood Month. I don't know if you knew that. And Kodiak, Alaska is the number three fishing port in the United States. In 2020, we landed 364 million pounds of fish. So it only seems fitting to hold this forum, this fisheries forum, in Kodiak in the month of October. So over 30 years now, Kodiak has held these various fisheries candidates forums to give you and I, the voters, an opportunity to hear firsthand from our candidates about important fisheries issues facing our state and in our nation. Our candidates tonight will be asked a series of fisheries questions that have been solicited ahead of time from various fisheries user groups. And then, as I mentioned, we've asked our panelists, a group of professionals from the fishing industry, to ask those questions tonight. So ultimately, though, the purpose of tonight's forum is for each of us to become a little more informed than we were earlier today. Picking the best candidate for the job, it's often difficult. It's made even more so given ranked choice voting and how close our elections often are. It has a lot of layers of complexity in our state. So with all of this in mind, the Kodiak Chamber of Commerce is encouraging each of you, tonight's listeners of the forum, to be an informed voter and to get out and vote. All right, so Representative Les Guerra and Governor Bill Walker, again, I want to thank you for being here this evening. And I want to let everybody know we're going to go through a series of questions tonight. I'll introduce each section of questions, but what we're going to start off with is an opportunity for each candidate to share with us a two-minute introduction of themselves. And so, Governor Walker, we're going to start with you, and then we'll go to you, Representative Guerra. So, Governor Walker, your 2 minutes.
Okay. Go ahead. Well, thank you very much, and thank you for putting this forum on. It's an honor to be here. I'm disappointed we don't have a full set of folks running at this, because they're missing out on a great opportunity to learn a lot about this industry. You know, those who don't know my background, I was Fairbanks born. I was born in the territory of Alaska. I grew up in Fairbanks for a number of years, 30 years in Valdez. My father, Ed Walker, was a member of the Alaskan Scouts in the Aleutians in World War II, and my mother worked on the building of the Alcan Highway. You know, you don't live 30 years in a fishing community of Valdez and not spend some time on a seiner, so I did, and I started off as a plunger, and I worked my way up to be a plunger. And so it was something I'll never forget. I almost went into the commercial fishing business after college because I enjoyed it just absolutely immensely. I thank you for all that you do for this industry. As mentioned, it's the largest industry in the state of Alaska. I'm running with my running mate is Heidi Dragas. Heidi also is Fairbanks born, raised UAF graduate, went off to law school, came back. Worked in various areas of the law and became my Commissioner of Labor and Workforce Development. And so a tremendous, tremendous individual as my running mate. So we have the unity ticket. I am a former Republican, moved to the middle. Heidi is a former Democrat, moved to the middle. We have the unity ticket, and absolutely, I served that way as governor, the only independent governor in the nation, and I wouldn't have it any other way. I think that's a tremendous way to serve. So it's an honor to be here. It's an honor to be running again. Alaska is a special state with pent-up opportunities that we need to unleash and make sure that we reach our full potential as a state. So thank you very much for this opportunity this evening.
Representative Guerra.
Thank you. My name is Les Guerra, for those of you who don't know me. I'm running very much because of the way I grew up and very much because of what I see in the state. I see a state that isn't providing opportunity in public schools. I see a state that has left jobs to the side, and I see a state that many people think don't have a future, and I want a state with a future. And this is why I want a state with a future. My upbringing, look, I'm fine. I grew up fine. But when I was six, my father had a doctor's office in a neighborhood called Harlem in New York, and he was very well loved in that neighborhood. And one day, somebody came into that office late at night and killed my father, and I grew up in foster care. Things worked out fine for me. My father was an immigrant. He was a veteran, a war veteran, and he taught me early on that my way out as an immigrant son was education. And that's what worked for me. I had the opportunity to have a good education. I made it to college. I worked my way through college. I got financial aid because I didn't have money. And I got scholarships. And I did the same thing with law school, where I'll say I went to law school with Michelle Obama, and I think she would have liked me if I ever met her. But I never did. So, and then I came up here, worked for Justice Jay Rabinowitz up in Fairbanks, and then the Exxon Valdez oil spill happened, and I called up the state and I said, "Are you going to do anything about that?" And they said, "Yes, we're suing." And I joined the civil prosecution of Exxon after the Valdez oil spill. I'm blessed to have a wonderful wife, Kelly. I'm blessed to have a wonderful running mate, Jessica Cook, who's an education leader, and I think this is the time of our history that we need an education leader at the top of the ticket. Given what's happening to our schools. But I am running because this state's biggest export is now becoming people. 20,000 more people have left the state under this governor than have moved here. They don't see a commitment to public education. That is important to me. That's commitment to opportunity for children. They don't see a future with jobs, and they are leaving with their feet. And to me, somebody who grew up with very little, my belief is everybody deserves an equal chance in this world. I don't see it in the state. I see those who are born to wealthy or good or stable families doing well, and those others sort of tossed to the curb, and I want to change the lives for everybody to make sure everybody has a chance to succeed. So we do liberty and justice for all, and don't just say it.
Thank you, Representative Guerra. So I appreciate your opening statements. Thank you. Tonight, I told you there's going to be a number of different types of questions. I'll introduce each one of those sections. We're going to start out with some short answer questions tonight. They're designed to get to know you a little better. And as the evening progresses, we'll get into the harder policy type questions. But for now, what we've got is a series of questions that our panelists are going to ask. It's intended to be a 30-second response time. We're not going to use the light. We'll just be on our best behavior to work within the 30 seconds. So I am going to go ahead and turn it over to Nate and to Tina, and if you'll take us away with those short answer questions. Thank you.
Governor Walker and Representative Guerra, thanks again for coming out tonight. First question is, we're going to start out with Governor Walker. The fishing industry is heavily monitored. If you had to be monitored in your daily life, what monitoring mechanism would you choose? electronic monitoring such as cameras, or human observers, and why?
Well, that's a good question. I think I would probably go with the electronic because I've been followed around a bit when I was governor by my security folks, and that made me a little bit nervous. So I think I'm going to go with the electronic.
I will go with human observers. I'll have somebody to talk to, and I'm not exactly sure why they'd be following me around, but we talk and get to know each other. So,
thank you both.
Okay, question two. Representative Garrett, if you could answer first. On a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being the highest and 10 being the lowest, what priority will seafood issues have in your office versus the other issues you'll be addressing?
I mean, there'll be times that they're one, right? We're all going to want to say that everything is going to be one, right? They're going to be right up there. They have to be. Fish bind Alaskans. Whether you're a commercial fisherman or a subsistence fisherman or a sport fisherman, I believe fish bind Alaskans. That's why so many Alaskans oppose the pebble mine. I oppose the pebble mine because we know that we have to make sure that fish are here for this generation and the next generation.
Governor Walker, would you like that question repeated?
No, I'm good. It would be a very high priority, way closer to 1 than it would be 10. Our fiscal situation is a very high priority to me. We do not have a fiscal plan, have not had one for 10 years. We've gone through nearly $20 billion of savings. So the fiscal issue is very, very high on my list. But certainly, you know, fishing is a visceral issue in Alaska. I've been accused of, you know, commercial fishing, sport fishing, subsistence fishing. Every way I have caught a fish, I have had people not happy with how I ever caught that fish. So it would be very high, and I would make sure that we had the appropriate level of a fish liaison in our office at the governor's office level to make sure that right information is provided to the governor in making our decisions.
Thank you.
Question number three, Governor Walker, please answer first. As governor, what law or regulation would you repeal or change that affects the fishing industry?
We passed the law that you didn't have to have your license with you when you fish. We did that. I don't think I'd repeal that one. I have not thought about what I would pass, and I think there has to be some action taken I can't do that because that's in federal waters and whatnot. So I'm trying to think of things that we could do that this is the one you really want to be second on, the question, rather than first, because I'm sure that Representative Garrett has come up with a really great answer right now as I'm, you know, begging for time, and now the clock's turning red, so...
I would do something very different than Governor Dunleavy has done. We do have a majority of the seats on the North Pacific Marine Fisheries Council, and you would indirectly change policy by having people who would take a serious look at bycatch. I mean, when you control the majority of seats and 1,000 tons of halibut are being dumped to the bottom of the ocean in the Bering Sea, and over 500,000 chums dumped to the bottom of the ocean in the Bering Sea, and you have the power to do something about that, and your commissioner of fish and game blocks a motion to put a cap on chum bycatch, which is what happened this year, then I think you've showed what side you're taking. And I would appoint people, not anybody who's radical, but people who are interested enough to look at the bycatch issue to try and scale it back. That's the way we have sustainable fisheries.
All right, let's ask one more question in this arena. Go ahead.
Okay. The next question to Representative Guerra first. If you could go on one commercial fishing trip, what species would you fish and why?
I catch 20... 10, 30-pound halibut. I caught a 2-pound halibut the only time I got to go fishing this summer, so I would go on a halibut trip and try and finally catch a big one. So,
I'd have to go with Sam. You're talking about on a commercial boat. Yeah, I would want to be on a seiner. Just would bring back some great memories, and I'm going to see if I can sleep as well next to that running diesel engine as I did last time when I was so exhausted after the first opener.
I answered the wrong question. Sorry about that.
The intentions of those first ones, just they're intended to be fun. I was listening to some of them thinking, wow, if those are the fun ones, then this is a little scary. Anyways, we are going to move right along. We have got a series of questions that the candidates are going to have the opportunity to answer. There's three of them intended to be two-minute response time for those questions. Our panelists will ask those questions of you as I talk to you both offline. The timer will, when there's 30 seconds remaining, turn the clock to yellow and then turn it to red when your time has expired. So I think with that, that's the ground rules for this section. And Tina and Nate, we'll turn it over to you to ask the three questions.
Okay. First to Representative Guerra, what is your long-term vision for Alaska's seafood industry? Are there any fishery issues you will prioritize or be particularly interested in?
So, yes, but first of all, as the governor, I'm going to appoint people who make science-based and fact-based decisions. I'm never going to call my commissioner of fishing game or anybody on the Board of Fish and say, this is what I want. You should appoint people who know the fishery, know what they're doing, and you shouldn't interfere, right? But I think, look, bycatch has to be addressed in a rational way, and I will try to look for thoughtful people who will take a look on how you can scale back the amount of bycatch that you especially see in the Bering Sea. Look, I know good things come out of the Bering Sea, like the Bristol Bay Economic Development Corporation is crucial to the city of Dillingham. They help young people buy permits and Alaskanize permits that have gone outside. But I think that the amount of bycatch is excessive, and I think we have to do something about it. And I would like to see us find a way to do less bottom trawling. But these aren't going to be decisions I make. I'm going to appoint people, and if they tell me I'm wrong, then I'm wrong. But I am concerned about the amount of bycatch. It's a sustainable resource. It should be one that is around for the next generation. That's how we should manage our fisheries.
Thank you. Governor Walker, would you like me to read the question?
Sure.
The question is, what is your long-term vision for Alaska's seafood industry? Are there any fishery issues you will prioritize or be particularly interested in?
You know, the long-term vision I have, I am concerned about the grain of the fleet or the balding of the fleet, however you want to put it. But my concern is the cost of entry. It is very difficult for young folks to get into the various fisheries because of just the sheer cost of it. I know that there are various programs available, but really I want it to be sustainable. I mean, every fishing boat in my world is a small business, and many times it's a family business. And so I want to make sure that is continued on and on for generations. So we became a state to have that kind of control of our fisheries. So we need to make sure we maintain that. But, you know, if we don't, then we lose an entire livelihood and culture of our being. And so it's that, and it's as well as what I call the shoreside collateral benefits of commercial fishing. As much goes on onshore as offshore as far as the vendors that provide the incredible services, and I certainly have seen that here in Kodiak. It's something of beauty to see what happens onshore with a robust fishing industry. So for me, it's all about how do we make sure the next generation has the training, has the financing, the ability, and access to this incredible industry.
The second question, we're going to start with Governor Walker. Governor Walker, how would you prioritize the ADF&G budget so they can accomplish their mission of fisheries management, stock assessment surveys, and fisheries research? Do you have plans to address the department's need for a new state survey vessel and address other deferred maintenance within the department?
You know, over the years, we've seen what happens when you continue to cut and continue to cut and cut and cut. One flight here, I sat next to a young lady that was a fishery research biologist for Fish and Game, was laid out because of budget cuts. We need the best available information in making the decisions. We need the best available research. We need, you know, scientific data is what is needed, not necessarily political, contributors who made the biggest contribution to a campaign has a greater say in fishery management. So I'm all about science, but you have to fund it. You've got to fund it. You know, you can only kick the can down the road for so long. Eventually, the can kicks back, and I think that's what we're experiencing now is the can kicking back, because when decisions are made without science, it's a dangerous thing to do. And you know, the fisheries is way too important to this state to be making decisions blindly. So it's all about full funding and research vessels. You know, commercial fishermen are the canary in the mine on fisheries. You know, they're out there; they see it firsthand what is happening. So I don't discount a process or input from commercial fishermen themselves as well.
Rep. Guerra, would you like me to repeat the question?
No. Look, those are all important, but if I tell you I'm going to fully fund the Department of Fish and Game, and we're going to have good schools, and we're going to have a good university, and we're going to have job training, and we're going to have money for the harbors and Kodiak and in Homer, you've got to ask me where the money's going to come from. This state has made itself poor intentionally. And so we're living with the consequences of that. We can't retain teachers. We can't retain police. I want a strong Department of Fish and Game that does studies. You know what a Department of Fish and Game commissioner does now? He testifies and talks about all the studies he's asked the feds to pay for. Are we a sovereign state? That is not something I would brag about, that we're not doing studies, but we're just hat in hand to the federal government. This state is giving away $2 billion in subsidies to the oil industry called oil tax credits. I'm sorry, $1.2 billion. That money, if we ended these subsidies, could go to build a strong research section at the Department of Fish and Game and schools and a PFD and a construction budget and a community project budget, so we're not just forcing people to fight between each other for those things. And we need to have revenue in the state again, not just revenue one year when Russia invades Ukraine. That's not a fiscal plan.
Okay. Thank you both. Question three, again, directed to Representative Guerra. Decision-making regarding bycatch in the federal fisheries takes place within the North Pacific Fishery Management Council process. The Alaska Bycatch Task Force identified research data gaps critical to bycatch management. As governor, would you support funding an ADF&G line item prioritizing bycatch research? And if so, what would your research priority be?
Look, I'm glad we're doing bycatch research with a task force. Let's just be clear. That task force that Governor Dunleavy put together is powerless, and he put it together so that its recommendations would come out after the legislative session was over. So they couldn't do anything with it. His real power on bycatch was his nominees to the North Pacific Fishery Management Council. Right? If you wanted to do something, that's where you do something. If you want to do something for show, you just appoint a non-binding task force with no power. But sure, we should have research on bycatch so we can make legitimate recommendations. But there's also a staff at the council, and we should have smart people there, smart, level-headed, balanced people there who are making decisions. I think I was very disappointed when I saw the state's representative block a motion to put a cap on chum bycatch in the Bering Sea when there's bycatch of over 550,000 chum and no chum going up the Kuskokwim and no chum going up the Yukon. This is not fair to the people of Western Alaska. And look, I don't know what the cap should have been, but to take no action and say, well, we'll study it, and then here, and I'll appoint a non-binding task force just so you think I'm doing something, I think that's politician talk. I'm tired of it.
All too often, a task force is used to avoid making a decision. And I'm not trying to demean the task force that is there. There's some good people on that task force, but I'm always a little suspect on the eve of elections. There's a series of task force. Every time you turn around, there's another task force. I want a due force. I want decisions made. You know, I like the idea of it being a year round, not just, you know, it's going to expire in November. This issue is not going to expire in November. So I have no problem with it being an ongoing group that gathers information. I want to make sure it's balanced and it's, you know, that everybody sort of has a say in it. But this is a significant issue. And so if it needs to be a line item in a budget to continue it going, we have 122 commissions approximately in Alaska, different boards and commissions. There's absolutely no reason that this shouldn't be one, but I don't want it to be one that just continues the study. I mean, there needs to be studies, but we need some action on some of these issues. And so I have no reason to. I mean, I know some of the people that were appointed to that commission, and I have a lot of respect for those individuals. So I'm not a believer in, because a new governor comes in, you have to sort of wipe out everything the last governor did and start over again. I'm a carpenter. I never framed a wall, and the next crew came in and took it down. So I would continue to use this process, but make sure that it's tied to some specific results and timeline for results. But keep it going to make sure that, you know, what is implemented. Maybe it works, maybe it doesn't work. But we need to have that ongoing continuity to be able to wrestle this to the ground, because it's a significant issue.
That brings us to our panel questions. So we're going to come back to some more long format questions. We wanted to give the gentleman a little bit of a break, have a little fun. We realize you've got panels there in front of you. If you want to hold them up so people can see them, they say yes, they say no. Our panelists are going to ask questions. You're going to hold up yes, you're going to hold up no, you're going to throw it and say I don't know. Anyways, yes or no, right? We realize this is on radio, and that doesn't translate super well to radio. I also got dressed up for radio. But anyways, what we're going to do is, for the room and for people watching on Facebook Live, we're still going to have you raise them yes, no. I will let the listening audience that is on the air, on the radio, I will say both candidates responded yes, both candidates responded no. Representative Guerra said this, Governor Walker said this. So that'll be potentially a little awkward for us, but we'll work through it. So again, your paddles for yes or no questions. And I'm going to turn it over to our panelists. They've got a number of questions for you that they'd like to see what you think.
Question number one. If elected, will you have a dedicated fisheries advisor on the third floor?
All right. We have both candidates responded with yes. And if you want to respond verbally, you're welcome to as well. Both candidates responded yes. Thank you. Tina, go ahead.
Question two, should federal catch share management systems, known as rationalization programs, in Alaska's fisheries be repealed?
Could you repeat that once more?
Should all federal catch share management systems, known as rationalization programs, in Alaska's fisheries be repealed?
All right. Representative Guerra responded with no, and Governor Walker responded with yes. Next question.
Do you think there is room for additional federal catch share programs in Alaska's fisheries? One more time. Do you think there is room for additional federal catch share programs in Alaska's fisheries?
I just worry about federal anything in Alaska, so I'm going to go with no. My default says federal. I'm sorry.
All right, so we've got a couple of no's with some caveats. Go ahead, next question.
Okay, question number four. Does Alaska's seafood industry pay its own way in taxes and fees?
And they both answered yes. All right, next question, Nate.
Do you support entry-level opportunities in Alaska's fisheries?
Absolutely.
All right, absolutely, both yeses. Go ahead, Tina.
Okay. Next question, do commercial fishermen harvest too much fish?
Like all commercial fishermen?
Do commercial fishermen harvest too much fish?
Not family ones.
I don't think so.
All right, we have two no's.
Do you support the provisions currently found in state-managed fisheries that require the permit holder to be on board the vessel?
I kind of like that.
until I find out I'm wrong. Sure.
All right, we've got two yeses. And so that was intended to be our fun, easy part. These fisheries questions are tough, right? Thank you, gentlemen, for rolling with us.
What kind of tackle do you use, or what do you, you know?
I know, right?
Wow.
All right, but we want to come back to some policy questions for you guys. That first set of three, they were, as I talked to you beforehand, were intended to be, you know, two-minute response times-ish. This next section, if we can do those in a 90-second time frame, again, with 30 seconds left on the clock, we'll switch it to yellow. We've got a number of questions for you in this arena. And with that, I'll turn it over to our panelists. Nate or Tina, I'm not sure which one of you is going first, but go ahead and start off with our 90-second questions.
We're having our own debate over who goes first.
On who goes first.
Yeah. Question one in this round, first to Representative Guerra. The Alaska Board of Fisheries conflict of interest policy currently requires a commercial fisherman who sits on the board to step away from the table and sit in the audience if they have a permit or if a family member has a permit in a fishery. This prevents qualified Board of Fish members from weighing in on issues where their expertise is needed. Do you believe that this aspect of the conflict of interest policy is problematic? And if so, how would you fix it?
I think it's too stringent. You should have people who know a fishery be able to speak to an issue that they know about. And I do think that the Board of Fish conflict of interest issue is really too broad. I think it should be more about whether that person is going to make money off of the answer as opposed to what sector they fish in. So. Look, I'm not going to go in there and change the Board of Fishery, the way the Board of Fishery acts, probably as governor, but I think it's too broad.
I as well think it's too broad. I think local governments deal with that all the time, and Alaska statute addresses that, of course, in Title 29. And so, you know, I think that when that happens, you lose some of the wisdom of those that they're on the board for a reason. And so if typically in local governments I've been involved in, if it's a class of groups larger than, I don't know what the magic number is, you know, but if it's a group of folks that are going to be impacted and that happens to be one of them, then typically it's not a conflict of interest. So to lose that wisdom in the debate and in the discussion, I think is unfortunate. So I think I've heard a fair amount about that particular. I think there's a whole lot of other things that are conflict of interest, a whole lot greater than that as far as the Board of Fish. So I would want to change that so that they could stay in the discussion.
Question number two, Governor Walker, you can answer first. What is your definition of a balanced Alaska Board of Fisheries?
Wow. One that is based upon making decisions upon science and not necessarily based upon what group they necessarily represent, and one that can get confirmed by the legislature, since that is of all the confirmations that I've put forward, that has always been the most challenging. And so I think that if you have one that has greater than a simple majority, I think you're starting to have a balanced board. But I default to science. There has been some discussion with me about having certain credentials to be on the Board of Fish, certain scientific backgrounds to be on the Board of Fish, so that you can understand independently some of the analysis that's provided by staff. So I just think it has to be, it's got to be something that is not just a favor for in quid pro quo on a political contribution.
Yeah, I'm going to distinguish myself from the current governor on this one. I fish a ton. I fish more than the current governor. It's one of my passions in the world, and I spend a lot of time on the fishing stream like a commercial fisherman might spend on the ocean, thinking about whether this resource is going to be here the next generation. I want to make sure it's here the next generation. So I won't appoint people who are there to rubber stamp what I want, right? That's what I won't do. What you need out of Board of Fish members are people who have various backgrounds, commercial, subsistence, sports, that's fine. But if you have those, you have to be somebody who is willing to listen on the issues that
don't come from your background. I want a commercial fishing representative who is smart and thoughtful, who cares about subsistence fishing. I want, if somebody is a sport fisherman, I want them to care about commercial and subsistence fishing. I want them to listen. I want them to be bright. I want them to be thoughtful. I don't want people to just grab as much for their own, right? That's been the worst of the Board of Fish. This current governor, I think, you know, one of his big sponsors for his last election was a man who has had an impact on his commissioner of fish and game, his board of fish, and I think it's been sad. I think I don't think you should do that. I think you should have a balanced board of fish, but even not just commercial subsistence and sport, but people who will listen to each other and care about the fishery they don't come from also. Fish bind Alaskans, and I think we have to get to back to focusing on the priority, which is making sure we have sustainable fisheries for this and the next generation.
Okay. Third question in this round, again to Representative Guerra. How can the state prepare for greater variability and potentially severe declines in fisheries due to climate change, such as overall ocean warming trends, reduced sea ice, and a cold pool in the eastern Bering Sea and northern Bering Sea, and marine heat wave frequency?
On one hand, you should not delay decisions you have to make today because you won't have science for 10 years. You have to make the decisions today to make sure our fisheries are sustainable. But on this issue of global warming, and I'm going to act as much as I can on global warming. I want to use our oil wealth to build renewable energy across the state to reduce the cost of power across the state. But we're not stopping global warming this year, as hard as I would try. And so I think you have to have a strong body of science so you understand what happens to salmon when they're out in the ocean. You know, I heard this commissioner of Fish and Game say, we don't really understand what happens to salmon when they're out in the ocean, so I've asked the feds for money so we can study it. No, we do that. We should have the body of science that we need so we can make management decisions to keep fishing boats out if we can keep them out there, right? The more information you have, the better you're able to manage your fishery, and probably the better you're able to keep fishing boats on the water.
You know, how to be prepared for that. You prepare yourself with science. You absolutely have to prepare yourself with science. You know, when the 2017, when the blob was out, that the temperature rose a bit, and it was devastating to many coastal communities on fishing. So, you know, there are things happening that we don't know about. Some people say we know more about the backside of the moon than we know about the oceans in Alaska, and I think that's correct. So until we understand why do we have an incredible run in Bristol Bay this summer and a almost no run in the Yukon and Kuskokwim on Kings. So, you know, why is that happening? We don't know that. You know, there are some joint studies going on with different countries of Japan. You know, obviously Russia would be challenging now, but they were part of the multinational studies about what's happening in our oceans. We need to arm ourselves with absolutely the best information possible. And you don't do that by kicking the can down the road. You do it by finding the funding. And I know we're supposed to hate the federal government, but as Alaskans, but there's a lot of funding available we don't go after as Alaskans, and we need to get every federal dollar we can in every way we can to get to the bottom of some of these issues on our oceans. They are critical to our current and future generations. So it's, for me, it's all about science.
Question number four, Governor Walker, you'll answer first. Besides sustainable management, since that is a given, describe the most important factors in having continued, healthy, long-term commercial fisheries.
Well, the most important factor of that is sustainable, it is predictable, that it is something that you can invest in. I've seen some of the investments I've seen in Kodiak in my last several trips here. Onshore investments are significant, and that's dependent upon a sustainable, reliable, predictable fishing. And so, you know, as was said in the introduction, it is the biggest industry in Alaska is the fishing industry. And in doing that, you count what's on shore as well. So you've got to have that predictability. You've got to have the sustainability. You know, I shouldn't use someone's name here, but I can't help it. Connor Curtis, and what he has done with Highmark is unprecedented around the state. And I can't tell you how impressed I am with what is happening in Kodiak on the fishing industry. You are a year-round fishing, probably only year-round fishing community in Alaska, and it is impressive what is happening here. So we need, but in order to have him do what he's doing, we need to make sure there's an industry available, and the sustainability is absolutely critical.
Violating your question, sustainability to make sure that fish are around for the next generation is crucial, but we need to take politics out of fish. I think that is very important. I saw a few examples this summer where I disagreed with the governor extremely. I was up on the Kuskokwim River with Mike Williams Sr. from Akiak this summer, and there was a very limited king open for subsistence fishermen, and this governor came in for politics and opened up the Kuskokwim to all 750,000 Alaskans when there weren't even enough fish for the people who lived on that river. I thought that was offensive. I thought it was discriminatory, and I thought it was an insult to the people who live on the Kuskokwim River when they couldn't even put enough fish on their racks, and he opens up to people from Anchorage and Wasilla and Kenai. That was politics. I think the governor engaged in politics when, look, we have a very healthy federal fishery in Cook Inlet, the EEZ, and this governor, he talks about federal government overreach. He joined the feds to sue to close that fishery for no biological reason whatsoever. You never close a fishery for no biological reason whatsoever. He closed it for a political reason because of the people that he's been asked to put in charge of his fisheries policy. I take politics out.
Tina, let's go ahead and ask one more question.
Okay. First to Representative Guerra. What can the state do to support the development and marketing of mariculture products?
Yeah, mariculture, it's a wonderful industry. I've voted for every piece of mariculture legislation that came before me as a legislator. In Kodiak, I met with some people who are entering the mariculture field, and it's obviously cheaper to ship dried kelp and seaweed than it is to ship frozen kelp and seaweed, right? So I would like to do everything we can to expand this industry. It's a shoulder season industry, so if you're fishing in the summer, you can still do mariculture when you're not out fishing. We need, in part, I think, to start doing small business loans for fishermen, for mariculture, that are low interest, and I would, right now we have ADA, the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority. All they do is support 1960s project. If the project wasn't talked about in the 1960s, they don't support it. We need to move forward into a modern economy, and ADA should be helping with mariculture, and ADA should be helping with the future economy, but right now it's sort of stuck in the 1960s.
The mariculture industry is a tremendous opportunity in the state. You know, when I issued Administrative Order 280 to create the Mariculture Task Force, little did I know that just recently we would be receiving, I believe, about a $50 million grant to the mariculture industry from a federal grant. So, you know, it is, and Kodiak is uniquely positioned for that. I mean, I have to say I have the honor of having the first glass of kelp beer in Alaska, only because here in Kodiak, it was not ready yet, so I went in the back room. They opened up the valve on the tank, and I had a little bit of that. It wasn't bad. I ate some kelp last time I was here, and during Crab Fest, we went over to a facility that is processing it, and Heidi and I had a chance to eat some of the kelp. It is an opportunity that we need. It needs infrastructure. It needs marketing help. You know, it needs a statutory change so ASME can promote the kelp. I think it's limited only by our imagination what we can do in Alaska with kelp. There's so many uses for it around the world, so many market opportunities, but it helps almost like an incubator. It needs some help in getting off the ground with not, right now it's using sort of borrowed infrastructure here and there. It needs to be head on and aggressively used because it's going to help potentially in small village areas, coastal village areas, as an industry in that area, right there in their front yard.
All right, thank you. That's going to transition us to some short answer questions. These are intended to be about a one-minute response time. Again, we'll turn the clock yellow when you have 30 seconds left. We have five or six questions in this area, and I'm going to go ahead and turn it right back over to Nate and Tina. The goal for tonight is to make sure we give you both ample opportunity to answer as many questions as possible, and so I don't want to feel like we're rushing between things, but I also... people are here to listen to your responses to our questions. And so, anyways, we appreciate your being here. And so let's start off with some one-minute question round. So go ahead, Nate and Tina.
This first question, Governor Walker, please just respond first. What do you see as the most important qualities or experience needed in an ADF&G commissioner?
Well, having been there, I can certainly say I certainly need someone that understands the industry. Has good management skills. I think it's important that they have support from the team and themselves, from the ADF&G team themselves. I think it has to be somebody that is not just a laser focus on one area of fisheries, sort of well-rounded, if you will, in that regard. But really the key is that it's somebody that is you know, it's a big department. It's a critical department. I received a call once from ADF&G asking me about a closure. Do I want to do a closure? I said, you've got the wrong number. I don't have a biology degree. I will not be making those kinds of decisions. So it has to be a person that is has the passion, but really has the management skills as well. It's a big department to run, so you can be focused as you want. If you can't run the department, then that's a problem. So it's really the management skills I look for as well.
Yeah, it would be somebody who is not there or selected because of their politics, number one. I think the current commissioner was selected because of his politics. So he was selected in part because of one of the big donors that donated to this governor's campaign. I would never do that. You put somebody in charge of the Department of Fish and Game who is smart. They may be smart and they may have a biology background. They may be smart and they may have a fishing background, but I want them to be able to make decisions that are thoughtful, not partisan, not biased. I want them to be somebody who will make decisions based on science and biology, and that is key, not based on politics, not based on political donations, but based on science and biology, and somebody who is not biased, who does not have an agenda. I don't want somebody in there who has some agenda that they want to push.
Okay, thank you. Question number two. Alaska has a worker shortage that is expected to get worse over the coming years. Is there anything the federal or state government can do to increase the fishing and processing sector workforce, Representative Guerra?
You know, we have a number of institutions that are good at that have a hand in job training. Sea Grant, Kodiak College. We've got the Young Fishermen's Summit that happens, UAF has a role, but I think we have a lot of workforce needs in the state. I mean, seafood for one, and I think we have to be laser focused on training people for the jobs that are out there. And in Kodiak, those are fishing jobs in part. But we have so much training we have to do. This state is falling apart. We need to train teachers so we can grow our own, so teachers can teach in their own communities, and have police so they can police in their own communities or at least their own regions, and mental health professionals, which we don't have, another area of shortage, so they can provide mental health services in their own communities. These are big things, but also certainly we should work with our existing institutions to have sort of vibrant seafood processing and fishing training. AVTEC does a great job teaching people how to captain a boat, how to be a deckhand. We can do better, but we're doing well. We can do better.
All right, next question.
Does he get his answer?
I don't think I had the question.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go right ahead.
I think he gets to respond.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I can reread the question.
No,
Governor,
I got
if you'd
it.
Like. Okay.
It's a job. And speaking of jobs, and one thing I want to add on the commissioner of Fish and Game, I would reach out to the user groups and ask them for, give me a job description of what you think the commissioner of Fish and Game should be the job description, and also give me five names. And so I can see if there's any crossover. I think soliciting input from those that rely upon the work of the Fish and Game commissioner is important. You know, as far as filling the jobs, I had that situation with J-1 visas were not being able to be processed. And so what I did is I reached out to our you know, commissioner of corrections and said, you know, let's look about using some of our those that are incarcerated and work in the fishing processing fishing industry, and they did. We put many of them around the state in different programs, and I think it worked out quite well. You know, not talking about people that have been committed violent crime, people that are had 6 months left in their time, and you know, when they got out, they had worked. They paid off the restitution. They had some savings, and some of them right back into fish processing because it was a job. So I think that's we had 3,000 or 4,000 that were, you know, not all of them were qualified for that, but those that were, they were most anxious to do it, and it worked out pretty darn well. It was ended after I was out of office, but I would look at that. I think the best cure for social ills is a job, and I like putting people to work.
Next question. Thank you.
Next question, Governor Walker, answer first. This probably should be Tina's question, but
I saw that same thing.
What is your vision for the future of Alaska's hatchery programs?
Hatchery program? Well, I'm from Valdez, and I watched the VFDA, Valdez Fishery Development Association, go from a vision to a tremendous success story. Now, approximately half the fish in Prince William Sound are because of that hatchery in Pisgah over in Cordova. I know there's been some pushback on hatcheries. Because they're saying there's just too many fish in the ocean, and we're putting more and more out there. You know, someone has to prove that to me. I like the fish hatchery concept. Personal observer of that in Valdez. So I like it. I know it's not for some. You know, we have many of them around the state, and I'm certainly in favor. I'll certainly listen to the argument about that we have too much. I know when VFDA asked for an increased amount, there was a tremendous pushback from around the state from some of the sport fish about that we're in. You know, it's impacting the sport fishery. So.
Representative Garrett.
Yeah, I think I remember most of the question.
I can repeat it.
As long as hatcheries are run in a way where we don't have the problem with fish farming, where hatchery fish degrade wild fish, then I think it's good. And I think we've had a responsible statewide hatchery program in the state. So as long as you're careful about it and you're not doing it in a way where it's almost like fish farming, which is dangerous, I think. As far as I've seen, our hatchery programs have been good and responsible.
Go ahead and ask another question.
Okay. The fourth question is in this round. First to Representative Guerra. When talking about infrastructure, the seafood industry is often overlooked. How important are ports, harbors, and the marine highway system to Alaska in comparison to other state infrastructure needs?
They're incredibly important. I mean, we have traveling around the state. There is need for harbor repairs in Homer, in Dillingham, in Kodiak. They're all $30 million projects. We need to build up our state. But when this governor was the deciding vote to give away our oil money, so we've lived and run through $17 billion of savings, so we have almost nothing left between 2014 and now. We don't have the money for what used to be called the capital budget. The capital budget funds community projects like harbors. The capital budget funds renewable energy. The capital budget funds the whittling away of the $2 billion worth of deferred maintenance that's being neglected in the state, things that put people to work, things that make communities stronger, things that create an economy. Those are things we need to do again. If we had a capital budget of the average capital budget we had before 2014 instead of one quarter of what we've had, we would have had 4,000 more jobs in the state. People wouldn't have left the state with their job skills. But instead, this governor's had no fiscal plan. Others have fought a fiscal plan, and we haven't been able to have a capital budget and then harbor repairs and things like that. We've shipped jobs out of the state.
The bipartisan infrastructure bill is a transformational opportunity for Alaska like we've never seen. I liken it to the Alcan Highway, the building of the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline. You know, the amount of money that, and in it, it talks about coastal infrastructure, exactly what the question is about. You know, we talk about a few billion dollars here and there that will come for broadband, which is critically important, and I celebrate that. But it's the $100 to $300 billion pool of funds that is going to be available to all states to compete for it. And my goodness, if we can't out-compete every other state in this nation, there's something wrong with this. But you got to want it. You got to go after it aggressively. So that's where I see an opportunity. You know, once in probably in anyone's lifetime. Of us catching up on infrastructure. I look at the infrastructure in Kodiak and what has happened because of the infrastructure, you know, the Cooper put together and his company, Highmark. It's 50 people were employed, 50 people that were not otherwise employed in Kodiak because of that infrastructure. Infrastructure is critical, and we have to go after that bipartisan funds. This governor won't even talk about it. He did not even talk about it during the State of the State. My goodness, that would have been pulling me off the ceiling in the chambers during the State of the State if that had been me in that. So we've got to go out aggressively and bring home all we can so we can have these infrastructure projects that's going to move our state to the next level.
All right. Thank you. I wish we could get to one more question. I do want to thank our candidates for being here tonight. An hour goes by tremendously quickly. Both candidates will be sticking around after the forum, have ample opportunity for the public to come forward and ask them questions. But I do want to make sure for our listening audiences around the state that we leave ample time for them to hear our two candidates' closing comments this evening. So, Governor Walker, we started this evening with you, so I'm going to allow Representative Guerra to have the last word tonight. So we're going to go ahead and start again with Governor Walker so that Representative Guerra can we can bookend it with each of you, so to speak. So you have 1 minute in closing comments, and again, Governor Walker, let's start with you, and then we'll close out the evening with you, Representative Guerra. So, Governor Walker, closing comments for us this evening.
Well, a couple things. I am running for governor because Alaska needs someone that will show up. Someone will show up and stay in Juneau during the special session, someone who will represent not just the political donors, but the entire state. You know, something that comes up often in this campaign is you know, working hard. And, you know, you can tell how hard someone's going to work as governor based on how hard they work to become governor, and this governor is not. This election is unique. This is a ranked choice voting. You know, and either in order to defeat Governor Dunleavy, those that vote for me first, which I would appreciate very much, I encourage you to vote for Representative Guerra second. And I think that, and I believe he'll say the same about me. You know, use all the power of the first two votes. And we have got to have a governor that recognizes the opportunity of Alaska and is willing to do the work, willing to show up and do the work, not afraid of it. So I made some tough decisions when I was governor. You bet I did. $26 oil, you can't run from the fire. I don't do that. All my background is private sector. I've had 15 businesses. The first government paycheck I received was as governor. And so I tend to approach things like a business. And in business, you run to the fire, you fix it. You're the first one there. That's what I did as governor, and I'll do that again. Thank you very much.
Representative Guerra.
Thank you. I've shown up at 11 debates this year, 10 of them with Governor Walker, and Governor Dunleavy showed up at one. He's skipped 10 of them. And I think you have to wonder about somebody who won't share their ideas with you. You have to wonder about somebody who doesn't come to listen to you. You know, when I come to Kodiak, I visit. I've met with all three mayors, the incoming borough mayor, the outgoing borough mayor, the city mayor. I've met with a school superintendent. I hope you want somebody who's curious about your community, who's curious about listening, and who isn't afraid to share their ideas with you. Look, I applaud Governor Walker for showing up at all these debates with me. He is going to be my second choice. I'm voting for myself first. But I'm not ranking Governor Dunleavy. I mean, if he doesn't have the courtesy to show up at over 90% of the debates, then then he's got ideas he doesn't want to share with people. I've shared my ideas. I think we deserve better schools. We deserve an economy that people know will have jobs for their children. And we need to solve the problems that this governor has neglected for 3 years.
All right. Thank you. And that's going to bring us to the comment that I said we had to do earlier. You're listening to the Statewide Fisheries Forum from KMXT Kodiak, heard statewide, courtesy of Alaska Public Broadcaster's satellite system. Thank you for listening tonight, and don't forget to tune in at 6:30 p.m. tomorrow night to hear from candidates for U.S. House and U.S. Senate.